All right, well, we are going to get into the scriptures today, and we are going to take a little bit of a different angle, a little bit of a different Easter message than maybe what's normal, and we're going to turn to John chapter 20, starting in verse 19, and we've been doing a series here at church called Red Letters, and what we've been doing is going through the red letters of the Bible, which that is the words that Jesus spoke in the Bible, and so we're going to continue that today. And in John chapter 20, it says, "Then the same at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." Then skipping down to verse 24, it says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see the hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples again were inside, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed.'" And I want to kind of work from this story today to talk to us about doubt. And most of us here today probably know the story about Easter, the Easter story. We know that Jesus was crucified for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose the third day. And that is the heart of the Easter message. That's the heart of the gospel message. Matter of fact, if that's not true, we might as well shut our doors. We might as well stop being a church because it's all for naught. But we believe that that is true. And if you haven't believed yet, if you haven't made that decision yet, I'm going to do my best today to try to get you to believe that. But also, there's things that happen in life that maybe we believe the Easter story. We believe that Jesus died, buried, was resurrected, and we kind of believe him for the big things, but there's smaller things that come in our life that make doubt come in. Am I the only person in this room today who struggles with doubt? Please raise your hand to make me feel better, because I'm raising mine. That there are situations in my life. I believe that Jesus came. I believe he lived a sinless life. I believe that he died on the cross and he was buried. He was resurrected. And he is one day going to make the whole world right. But there are situations in my life that creep up and they come out of nowhere. And I struggle with believing that God can do what he said he's going to do in my life. That I have trouble sometimes believing that he loves me. Sometimes I have trouble believing that he is going to do what he said he's going to do in my life in the here and now. And that's really where the rubber meets the road for a lot of us. And that was where Thomas is at. And the truth is, sometimes there's this war within us, right? Where there's faith and then there's doubt. There's the angel on our shoulder, then there's the demon on our shoulder, and there's this tug of war to get us to believe. And I want to encourage you today, and I want to let you know that because that war is happening in your life doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that you don't love God. It doesn't mean that God isn't doing something in your life. It means you're human. And I want to encourage us all today to have faith. And Thomas, we have to understand where he's at. And how many in here have heard the phrase, a doubting Thomas, right? I mean, I kind of feel bad for this guy. You know, it's 2,000 years, and we have this little story in the Bible, and for 2,000 years, if anybody has a doubt, what do we call them? A Thomas, a doubting Thomas. That for 2,000 years, because he had a bad weekend, and because his faith was a little low, like for 2,000 years, we've piled on this guy, and we've created this caricature for anybody who struggles with cynicism or doubt that, well, you're a Thomas. And I want to maybe try to paint a little bit of a picture for you today to kind of maybe give us a little bit of empathy for the guy. Because after all, he was just human like one of us. He's kind of an easy target, but let's put ourselves in Thomas' shoes. He left everything to follow Jesus. That means he believed that this was the Messiah. He believed that he was the one. He believed that this is the guy who is going to come and restore political power to Israel and kick their enemies out. You could say he believed that Jesus was the guy who was going to make Israel great again. And then it all fell apart in one weekend. Jesus was crucified. And as we just saw a few minutes ago, this wasn't some civil execution. It was the most barbaric way of being executed that you can possibly think of. And Thomas, as a follower of Jesus, has been completely humiliated. When people saw him in public, they would say, oh, he was one of the 12. He was one of those people who believed that Jesus was who he said he was. And now he's dealing with doubt. He's dealing with this, I thought it was true. I thought it was going to happen. I thought he was the one. And then this horrific weekend happens, and all of his faith seems to disappear. He's like one of us. He's had a storm in his life, and it's rocked the center of his world. And now he demands evidence to believe. He says, you know what? I put my faith in this guy, but I saw what happened. I saw the humiliating death that he died. I saw the way they treated him. And I'm going to need evidence to believe again. I know I've been there before. I know that I've reached that point before where I believed God for great things and it didn't happen. The prayers didn't come to pass at the time that I wanted to. That I believed that God was going to do something supernatural. I believed that God was going to do something great, but it just didn't happen. And if you live long enough and you follow Jesus long enough, you'll reach that point too. And what we have to realize is that faith must be based on things that we cannot see. Our faith, what gives it value, is our propensity to doubt, is our propensity to not believe, our propensity to say, you know what, show me the evidence and then I'll believe. But Hebrews 11:1 says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, our faith is the greatest evidence that we will have sometimes. Sometimes you just have to step out and believe, even when the evidence around you is saying that you shouldn't believe and that it's not going to happen. And John chapter 20, we see here that there's no evidence, and that Peter or that Thomas is wanting the evidence. And here's what happened. A few days after the crucifixion and after the resurrection, that the disciples are in a room and they're together. And as you might imagine, they're trying to rehab together. They're trying to get their lives back together because this had rocked their world. What had happened to Jesus had changed their lives, and they still thought that he was in a tomb. And Jesus appears to them out of nowhere, and he comes and he shows himself to them, and he talks with them. But here's the thing. Thomas wasn't there. He was out and about, maybe, I don't know, running, grabbing groceries for the rest of the crew. And he wasn't there when Jesus showed up. And so when he gets back, the rest of the crew is like, hey, Jesus was just here. You just missed him. And you might understand why Thomas is a little bit cynical at this point. He had left everything to follow Jesus. He believed that Jesus was going to be the Messiah. Then he saw him crucified. And then he comes back from a grocery run, and everybody else is saying, hey, you just missed Jesus. Jesus was here. Has anybody else experienced that in your life where God seems to be showing himself to everyone else? God seems to be doing incredible things for everyone else. Everyone else is seeing miracle things happen, great things happen in their job, great things in their family. Everything seems to be going well for them. But for you, Jesus isn't showing up. For you, the prayers aren't being answered. For you, the job situation is not getting better. For you, the family situation is not getting better. Your health is not getting better. Things look like they're getting worse. And it's easy in those times to say, well, I'm glad God showed himself to you, but until he shows himself to me personally, I don't believe it. My Lord. I've been there, where it seems like great things are happening to everyone else, but God's blessing just seems to pass you by. And maybe Thomas is just tired of the ride. Maybe he's like, you know what, guys, it's been fun. It's been real. We saw a lot of great things happen in 3 years with Jesus, but I think I'm done. I think that, you know what, my reputation's taken a hit. My mental stability has taken a hit after what I just saw last weekend. And so if you guys want to think that you saw Jesus, either you're smoking something really good, or it really happened, but I'm going to have to see him myself before I believe. And I want to tell you today that there's going to be times in life where you're not going to have any good reason, according to the circumstances around you, to believe God and his word. But you just have to believe anyway. You have to believe in God's character. And what Satan wants all of us to do today is to surrender our faith, to give up on our faith. He wants to bombard you with so many problems. He wants to bombard you with so many things in your life that it makes you question God, and it makes you become cynical and filled with doubt. And he wants to make you not believe God and to have a propensity to question God first instead of believing God first. But I want to encourage you today, if you can just hold on to a little bit of faith, as Jesus said, just a mustard seed faith, and to believe that Jesus is who he said he was, and he will do what he said he will do. Does anybody believe that today? And yes, I believe that Jesus came, he died, he resurrected, and he rose from the grave. And that's a big deal. But I also believe that he knows every person's name in this room. He knows everything about you. He loves you. He died for you. And he cares about the situations in your life in the here and the now. God loves you, and he cares about you in the here and the now. And so Thomas, I think we need to look, how did Thomas get into this place? What was his error, and how can we avoid it? And here's the mistake I think Thomas made, and it's a mistake that you and I make a lot. And that is, he forgot about 3 years he had followed Jesus. And let's think about what he saw in those 3 years. He saw deaf ears open. He saw blind eyes open. He saw people paralyzed, completely made whole in front of his eyes. He saw unbelievable things happen, like 5,000 people being fed from just a basket full of food, just supernatural multiplication take place right in front of his eyes. He saw Jesus do the incredible, the explainable, and no doubt some of that flowed into his own life. He forgot about all the 3 years of blessing because of 3 days. One problem comes into his life that he can't explain, and he loses all of his faith. And I know I've been there. If I could tell you everything that God has done in my life, it would be incredible. But there's times where a problem will come up, and I forget a whole lifetime of God's faithfulness. I forget a whole list of things that God has done for me, and all it takes is one phone call, and I'm questioning God. Does God love me? Does God even know where I am? Does God even know about this problem? If God loved me, he wouldn't let this happen. If God really cared about me, this wouldn't be happening in my life. We do that, don't we? We forget about God's character and the testimony that we have over a lifetime, the miracles, because of one bad day sometimes. And it's in those times, it's in that bad day, where you have to remember the God you serve. The God you serve is faithful.
Yes, he is.
The God you serve is loving. Yes. The God I serve today knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. And there's nothing that he wouldn't allow in my life if he's not got his hand upon me and he's not going to see me through. And if you're here today and you're going through a storm, you just need to believe God knows where I'm at, and I believe him. I trust his word. Can we clap our hands? Can we believe that today? Just like Thomas, we often suffer from long-term memory loss. Our faith is kind of a short-term memory. God blesses us with a new job, new house, great friendships, great things. And then the people at McDonald's put the wrong thing in our hamburger. And God hates us. Hashtag first world problems. Right? And I want to just encourage somebody. Maybe you believe him for the big things. You believe him for the resurrection. But you also need to believe him for the here and now. And what he's doing in your life. Thomas should have known that Jesus, he should have known Jesus well enough to know that he would not allow death to have the last word. And Jesus told them in Matthew chapter 16, 21, before this all happened, he told them, he says, I'm going to need to go to Jerusalem, and Matthew 6, 21, and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed. So he tells them the bad news, and then he says this, and on the third day, be raised. I have some bad news for you, and it's not about the helicopter. By the way, God still loves us, even though the helicopter has been canceled. Easter's still on. And that is this. You're going to face some problems after today. I wish I could say, hey, Jesus resurrected. You believe that? No more problems. Your life's perfect after you believe that. That's not true. I talked to a man just before church today, and he said, you know, Pastor Jeremy, at the start of this year, you said some of you are going to go through the worst problems in your life this year, but God's going to be with you. And he said, I just want to let you know that's come to pass in my life. Some of the worst things I've seen this year in my life has happened this year, but I know God's with me. And I want to tell you, you can take anything that goes in your life if you believe that God will get the last word. I can't explain a lot of situations. I can't explain why God has allowed certain situations in this world or in your life. But I trust him that he's going to get the last word. I trust him that he's going to bring justice to this world. I trust him that he is going to fix somehow the situation in your life, and he's going to heal you in due time. You just have to trust the character and the nature of our God, and that is he is a good God. So the other disciples, it says in John chapter 20, verse 25, they say, we've seen the Lord. And he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of his nails, and I put my finger into the print of the nails, and I put my hand into his side, I'm not buying it. In other words, not only does he need to show up, I need to see wounds, y'all. I want to do an autopsy. Sometimes we demand things from God that we have no right to demand. Sometimes we, God, okay, I'll believe you, but not only do I want the job, but I want to meet the president of the company and I want to shake his hand personally, right? You know, and here's the thing is that sometimes God doesn't owe us anything. And Thomas says, until I see Jesus himself, I'm not going to believe. And I got news for you. Jesus probably isn't going to physically show up here today and put his hands out to you and say, here, believe. You just have to believe it. You have to have faith to say, you know what, I have no evidence that Jesus is physically here today, but I believe it. I believe that by his spirit he's here because I can feel him. I can feel his presence. I can feel his love, and maybe some of us are where Thomas is at, that the storms in your life have just beat every ounce of faith out of you, and you want to believe it. And in word, you believe who Jesus is, but in deed, you really don't, because your lifestyle shows us what you really believe. And faith without works is what? It's dead. So today, I want to give us kind of three things to do when we're in doubt. And the first thing, and I get these from the story we're reading, first thing is this, we need to place ourselves around people who do believe when we're in doubt. And here's what I see, In verse 26, it said, "And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was" what? "With them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be to you.'" So a week passes by since Thomas has heard, hey, Jesus is hanging out. He's showing up in weird places. And he says, "I don't believe it." But here's the thing. 8 days later, he's still around people who do believe it. My question for you, Thomas, is, okay, Mr. Cynical, Mr. Smarty Pants, smarter than everyone else, if it's all not true, what are you doing hanging around us? And you see, I think there was a little something in Thomas that despite his negative, doubtful comments, there was this little maybe inside of him. Maybe this is true. And I want to tell you, that's all you need. And when you're in the worst part of your life and doubt is creeping in, doubt is taking over, get yourself around people who do believe. Because their faith, sooner or later, will carry you. Because Jesus has a habit of showing up around people who believe. And if you don't believe, if you're fighting doubt today, I want to encourage you, come to church and be a part of God's people. Why? Because Jesus shows up where people believe. And if you just hold on to that maybe, if you just hold on that maybe this is true, maybe God has an answer, and you keep getting around God's people, I'm going to tell you, he's going to show up because he said, wherever two or three people are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And I want to tell you, Jesus is here today. Jesus and his Spirit are here today to tell you that he loves you. You know where we find Jesus? We find him amongst his people. And when doubt creeps in, that's not the time to run away from God and run away from church and from his people. That's the time to run to his people and say, "I need help. I need strength. Help me to believe." Because Jesus will show up wherever there is a need. And all you have to have is a maybe. You know what I like about this verse? It says that when Jesus came, if we could have that put back up there, verse 26. When Jesus came, the doors were shut. It was the least likely place for Jesus to show up in some ways because it was locked. The doors were locked. But Jesus shows up in the least likely place. And I know in my life I've had Jesus show up in some shut doors. Some places that I thought that it was impossible for him to show up. But oftentimes, it's in the middle of the storm. It's in the middle of the problem. It's in the middle of the lowest place of your life and where your faith is the lowest, where Jesus shows up to strengthen you and to give you peace. Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on the church of God. Don't give up on Jesus. There's value and hanging around people who believe. And we all need that at some point in our life. There's some days I come up here with a lot of doubt. But you know what happens? I look around and I see people who have been through storms, who've faced horrific situations, and I look out and I see them with their hands raised. And something happens to me, and Jesus shows up and says, "Peace be with you. I'm here with you. I'm in the here and now. I haven't disappeared. I'm still here." How many knows that we serve a resurrected Savior and he's still here? He's still with us by the power of his Holy Spirit. Has anybody seen him and felt him in your life? Thank you, Jesus. I would say it's okay to shout on Easter. It's okay to get excited on Easter. Because God is still faithful and God is still with us. Amen. So the first thing is we need to surround ourselves with people who do have faith. Second thing we need to do is that we need to embrace God's grace and reach to him. You see, it says in verse 27, "Then he said to Thomas," you know, what I like about Jesus is he shows up in this room to the disciples and he specifically talks to the one person who didn't have faith. The one person in the room who had doubt. He goes and shows himself to them, and he says, Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. That's the great thing about Jesus, is that even when we're filled with doubt, he still has grace. Even when we don't see a way, even when we question his nature and his ability, which is so arrogant, he still has grace to say, come here, let me show you some things. I know that's true in my life. And so grace is undeserved favor. You don't deserve it. By the way, that's true for everything. If you're here today, you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus because you just have this list of things you've done wrong. It's called guilt. And by the way, it's not about what you did anyway. It's about what he did. Amen. And when we believe that Jesus is who he said he was, and that he did what he said he could do, when we truly believe that and we apply that to our life, guilt is taken away. And that's why Jesus often, through his grace, he shows himself to the worst of sinners. He shows himself to the worst of us. He shows himself to the most unbelieving of us. Why? Because he's a gracious God. He still does miracles even when people doubt. He still, in my life, I could testify where I lost all hope, and then he shows up out of nowhere and does miraculous things and does it better than what I wanted him to do. So Thomas, I could see him. He reaches out to God. He responds to Jesus. That's what I want to encourage you to do today. Respond to him. If you feel a little nudge in your heart while I'm talking or why we've been singing, that's the grace of God. That's Jesus manifesting himself to you saying, I love you. I still care about you. Even though you're full of doubt, even though you're full of cynicism and hurt and anger, I'm still here. And I love what Thomas's response is. In verse 28, he says, my Lord and my God. Has anybody else had some my Lord and my God moments in your life? Where it's like, did that just happen? Did God really do that? And here's the thing, he does all of that with the biggest doubter in the room. The biggest doubter in the room, Jesus shows himself. And biblical scholars say that this is probably the most dogmatic, powerful statement of Jesus' deity in all of the New Testament comes from doubting Thomas. Right. Why? Because grace. Some of the best saints make some of the hardest sinners, the fiercest sinners make some of the best saints. Why? Because Jesus has this unexplainable habit of showing grace to the people who are least likely, least deserving. And if you're here today, congratulations, ding, ding, ding. You're a perfect candidate for God's grace. So today we need to ask God to show his resurrection power in the middle of our life. God is faithful when we are faithless. And in his grace, he doesn't expect our faith to always be strong or perfect. Just takes a little bit. And he says, you know what? I can show up. Thomas, I can work with your maybe. Just keep hanging around the right people. And when I do show up, reach back for me. Don't be afraid. The third point that I see here from Thomas and how we deal with doubt is this. Believe God even when there's no evidence. Believe God even when there's no evidence. Verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And I want to encourage you here today, just believe God. Find it somewhere deep within your soul today to give God a maybe, to give God a yes, God, I believe that you can do this. I believe that you can heal me. I believe, God, that you can save me. I believe, God, Lord, that you can move in my family. Do I have any specific evidence for you? No. I don't know what your problem is. I can't explain it. I can't get up here on a chalkboard and break it down. You're just going to have to believe God and take him at his word. And I want to encourage you, read the Gospels of Jesus and read about Jesus and his character. Fall in love with Jesus and learn to just trust him. Just trust him. Even when bad things happen, just trust him. Why? Because he'll show himself to you if you just believe. And as I said before, what gives my faith value is my propensity to doubt. Today, if you're fighting doubt, there's a reason you're fighting doubt. That is because that's what gives your faith value. If we just instantly and automatically believed God for everything, our faith would have no value, would it? It would be magic. It would be unreal. But it's when we're really struggling to believe God, it's when we have to tell ourselves, okay, this is where it matters. This is where faith matters. And this is what's giving my faith value. Is that everything around me is telling me that this cannot happen. But I believe. I believe. Do we have any believers here today? I can think of people I've loved dearly. They went on and we cut a hole in the ground 6 feet and it looks final. There's no evidence to say I'm ever going to see them again. But today I just choose to believe it. I believe it. I'm going to see my grandpa again. I'm going to see a glorified, healthy person. Why? Because Jesus told me so. I believe it. If he can do that, I believe he can work in your job. I believe he can work in your family. I believe that he can change any situation in here. It might not be the way we want it to happen, but at the end of the day, we trust him that he's right, he's righteous, he's true, he knows what's good for us, and I believe him. And I want to leave us with this. We need to stop calling him Doubting Thomas. I think the first thing everybody needs to do when we get to heaven is apologize to Thomas. Because tradition tells us he traveled farther than any of the disciples. He traveled to India to preach the gospel, and he gave up his life for it. And you don't do that if you don't believe it. And I want to tell you today, if you've struggled with doubt your whole life, that doesn't have to define your story. That doesn't have to define your life. All it takes is one decision today to say, okay, God, I believe it. I believe you. I believe your character. God, forgive me for doubt. Forgive me, God, for cynicism and anger. I'm releasing it all to you. I don't understand what happened, but I believe that you love me and you have good things for me. That's all he's asking for today. And I love how John chapter 20 ends. Verse 30, it says, and truly, Jesus did many other signs. He wasn't done with Thomas, and he wasn't done with the rest of them in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. In other words, it was just too much to write. There's more to your story than what's going on right now. God's got great things. it ends with this, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, or God in the flesh, and that believing you may have life in his name. And I want to tell you today, it all starts right there. Very simple. That you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he died, buried, and was resurrected for you, and that you can have life in your name. When we make that decision to follow Jesus, to believe Jesus, we need to be baptized into his name, which is his character. That's what everyone who made that decision, they got baptized immediately after making that decision. Why? Because there's power in his name. It's who he is. I'm just daring you today to believe that. I dare you today to take a chance and say, I'm not going to die angry and cynical and full of doubt, but if I'm going to die, I'm going to go out believing God and trusting God. If I maybe go through this storm and there's things that happen that I don't understand, I'm going to go through the storm trusting God, full of hope, full of faith. Why? Because God is who he said he is, and he will do what he said he will do. Can we stand on our feet right now? Can we give God a hand clap of praise? Why don't we ask him for faith today? We could close our eyes all over this place. Every eye closed, every head bowed.